Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 37, Text Number 10 to 11. Krishna Krishna Prameyatman Yogesha Jagadishwara Vasudeva Kilavasa Satvatam Pravara Prabhu Tvam Atma Sarva Bhutanam Eko Jyotir Ivaidhasam Gudho Guhashaya Sakshi Mahaparusha Ishvaraha Krishna Krishna Prameyatman Yogesha Jagadishwaraha Vasudeva Kilavasa Satvatam Pravara Prabhu Tvamatma Sarva Bhutanam Eko Jyotiri Vaidhasam Gudho Guhashaya Sakshi Mahapurusha Ishvaraha Krishna
Krishna Krishna
O Krishna Krishna Aprameya Atman O immeasurable one. Yoga Isha. O source of all mystic powers. Jagadishvara. O Lord of the universe. Vasudeva. O son of Vasudev. Akila Avasa. O shelter of all beings. Satvatam of the Yadu dynasty. Pravara. O you who are the best. Prabho. O master. Tvam. You. Atma. The supreme soul. Sarva. Of all. Bhutanam. Created beings. Ekaha, alone, Jyotihi, fire, Eva, like, Edhasam, enkindling wood, Gudha, hidden, Guha, within the cave of the heart, Shaya, sitting, Sakshi, the witness, Mahapurushaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvaraha, the Supreme Controller. Narada Muni said, O Krishna, Krishna, unlimited Lord, source of all mystic power, Lord of the universe, O Vasudeva, shelter of all beings, and best of the Yadus, O Master, You are the supreme soul of all created beings, sitting unseen within the cave of the heart, like the fire dormant within kindling wood. You are the witness within everyone, the supreme personality and the ultimate controlling deity. Atmanatma Shraya Purvam Mayaya Sasriji Gunan Toyuridam Satya Sankalpaha Sijasyat Javasishvaraha. You are the shelter of all souls, and being the supreme controller, you fulfill your desires simply by your will. By your personal creative potency, you manifested in the beginning the primal modes of material nature, and through their agency you create, maintain, and then destroy this universe. Satvam buddhara bhutanam daitya pramata rakshasam avatirno vinashaya sadunam rakshanaya cha. You, that very same creator, have now descended on the earth to annihilate the daitya, pramata and rakshasa demons who are posing as kings, and also to protect the godly. Dischate nihata doityo lilayayam hoya kritihi yasyahe shita santrastas tyajantyanemishadivam. The horse demon was so terrifying that his neighing frightened the demigods into leaving their heavenly planets, heavenly kingdom. But by our good fortune, you have enjoyed the sport of killing him. Chanura mushtikam chaiva malananyam chahastinam kangsam chani hatam drakshe parasvo hanite vibho tasyanu sanka yavana muranam narakasyacha Parijata paharanam indrasya cha parajayam udvaham virakanyanam viryasulkadi lakshanam urgasya makshanam sapad tvarakayam jagatpate shamanatakasya chamane adanam sahabaryaya Mritaputra pradanam cha brahmanasya svadhamataha pundrakasya vadampaschat kasipuryascha dipanam tantavakrasya nidhanam choidyasya cha mahakrato jani chanjani viryani dvarakam avasambhavan karta draksyam yaham tani kiyani kavibhibhuvi. In just 2 days, O Almighty Lord, I will see the deaths of Chanura Mushtika and other wrestlers, along with those of the elephant Kulavali Arpida and King Kamsa, all by your hand. Then I will see you kill Kaliyavana, Mura, Naraka and the conch demon, and I will also see you steal the Parijata flower and defeat Indra. I will then see you marry many daughters of heroic kings after paying for them with your valour. Then, O Lord of the universe, in Dwaraka you will deliver King Mriga from a curse and take for yourself the Shaman Tucker jewel, together with another wife. You will bring back a Brahmana's dead son from the abode of your servant Yamaraj, and thereafter you will kill Pondraka, burn down the city of Kasi, and annihilate Dantavakra and the king of Chedi during the great Rajasuya sacrifice. I shall see all these heroic pastimes, along with many others, you will perform during your residence in Dwarka. These pastimes are glorified on this earth in the songs of transcendental poets.
Atate kala rupasya kshapayishno ramusyavai akshohininam nidhanam draksyam yarjuna sarate.
Subsequently, I will see you appear as time personified, serving as Arjuna's chariot driver and destroying entire armies of soldiers to rid the earth of her burden.
Vishuddha vijnana ganam svasamstaya samat tasaravartam amogavanchitam svatejasa nitya nivritta maya guna pravaham bhagavantam imahi.
Let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity. Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things And by the power of your spiritual energy, you remain eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion.
Tvamishvaram sasrayam atmamayaya vinimate vinimita shesha vishesha kalpanam kvidatam adhyatam anusya vigraham natos mitruryam yadubhrishni satvatam.
I bow down to you, the Supreme Controller, who are dependent only on yourself. By your potency, you have constructed the unlimited particular arrangements of this universe. Now, you have appeared as the greatest hero among the Yadus, Vrishnis and Satvatas and have chosen to participate in human warfare.
Shri Shukuru Vacha Ivam Yadu Patim Krishnam Bhagavata Prabharo Muni Pranipatya Bhyanud Gyato Yayo Taddashanot Savaha.
Sukadeva Goswami said, having thus addressed Lord Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, Narada bowed down and offered him obeisances. Then that great sage and most eminent devotee took his leave from the Lord and went away, feeling great joy at having directly seen him.
Bhagavana Pigovindo Hatva Keshina Mahave Pashuna Palayat Palai Pritoir Brajasuka Vahaha.
After killing the demon Keshi in battle, the Supreme Personality of Godhead continued to tend the cows and other animals in the company of his joyful cowherd boyfriends. Thus he brought happiness to all the residents of Vrindavan.
Ekada te pashun palas charayanto vishanushu chakru nilayana kridas chora pala padeshataha.
One day, the cowherd boys, while grazing their animals on the mountain slopes, played the game of stealing and hiding, acting out the roles of rival thieves and herders, cops and robbers.
Tatrasan katachit choraha palas chakatichinripa mishayitas chatatraike vijahur akutobaya.
In that game, O king, some acted as thieves, others as shepherds, and others as sheep. They played their game happily without fear of danger.
Maya putro mahamayo vyomo gopalaveshadrik mishayetan apovaha prayas charo chorayito bahun.
A powerful magician named Vyoma, son of the demon Maya, then appeared on the scene in the guise of a cowherd boy, pretending to join the game as a thief. He proceeded to steal most of the cowherd boys who were acting as sheep.
Giridaryam vinikshipyap nitam nitam mahasura shilaya pidadhe dvaram chatu panchavaseshitaha.
Gradually the great demon abducted more and more of the cowherd boys and cast them into a mountain cave, which he sealed shut with a boulder. Finally, only four or five boys acting as sheep remained in the game.
Tasya tat karma vigaya krishna sharana dasatam gopanayam tam jagraha vrikam harir avojasa.
Lord Krishna, who shelters all saintly devotees, understood perfectly well what Vyomasura was doing. Just as a lion grabs a wolf, Krishna forcibly seized the demon as he was taking away more cowherd boys.
Sanijam rupamastaya girindra sadvishambali ichchanvimoktum atmanam nasaknod grahanan grahanaturaha.
The demon changed into his original form as big and powerful as a great mountain. But, try as he might free himself, he could not do so, having lost his strength from being held in the Lord's tight grip.
Tam nigriyat chuto dorpyam patayitva mahitale pasyatam divideevanam pasumaram amarayat.
Lord Achyuta clutched Vyomasura between his arms and threw him to the ground. Then, while the demigods in heaven looked on, Krishna killed him in the same way that one kills a sacrificial animal. Purport. The Acharyas inform us that sacrificial animals were killed by means of strangulation.
Guha pidhanam nirbidya gopanisharya kritsvataha stuyamana surair gopai pravivesha svagokulam.
Krishna then smashed the boulder blocking the cave's entrance and led the trapped cowherd boys to safety. Thereafter, as the demigods and cowherd boys sang his glories, he returned to his cowherd village, Gokul. Thus in the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 37th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of the Demons Keshi and Vyoma. Next chapter, 38.
Om Jnanatimirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Chena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam.
Right. A number of points. Narada Muni is eager to see the Lord's pastimes in Mathura and in Dwarka. And he has witnessed these pastimes previously. So therefore he's met Krishna in a secluded place and is offering prayers, appreciation, glorification of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Aprameyatman, which means unlimited or immeasurable. Aprameya means immeasurable. Atman. O immeasurable one. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that, he comments that Aprameyatman means one whose mind cannot be known. Atma Manaha, he describes as the mind. Atman. Krishna's mind is not known. So Narada Muni is addressing him in this way. Yogesha. Yogesh. Yogesh means the controller or the source of all mystic power. So he is the master of his yoga maya. Yoga Isha, the controller of yoga maya. Right? Yoga Isha. This is Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary. Yoga Isha, So who knows what Krishna is going to do next? Basically, this is what he's saying. Who knows what Krishna's up to? Nobody knows what Krishna's up to. But he's eager to see what Krishna's going to do. He's eager to see Krishna's killing all of these demons and going to Mathura, establishing the city of Dwarka, killing the demons, marrying his 16,108 wives, so forth. You know what I mean? He's keen to see these things, but he's saying, what? Who knows what Krishna is doing? Jagadishwara. Right, Jagadishwara, he is the controller of the universe. As the controller and master of the universe, one of his duties is to protect the devotees. Right? Pavitranaya sadunam vinasaya cha duskritam. Get rid of all of the demons. Vinasaya cha duskritam. So he's saying, who knows what you're going to do, but as the controller of the universe, and as the protector of the universe, Jagadishwara, then you will surely advent, or you have advented actually, and you will surely reveal your pastimes, and you will go and kill the demons. Right, this is Krishna's. Krishna likes to play. He likes to have, just like we see here, cops and robbers, you know, shepherds and thieves. Krishna likes to play, but at the same time, he also has that chivalrous, you know, spirit. Each one of us has that chivalrous spirit. It comes from Krishna. You know, the desire to want to be in control. Each one of us has it. Because it's in Krishna. And the thing is, Krishna is the Jagadishwara, and we are the, you know, mini Ishwara, if you like. Very small Ishwara. Personality. Each one of us has a personality. So in Krishna, we find, you know, this desire for combat, if you like. And sometimes we think, oh boy, Krishna's killing all of these people. This is a bit, what is he doing that for? God is supposed to be love and peace. Right? Spiritual life is love and peace. But actually, in reality, spiritual life is more than just love and peace. It's a struggle. It's a struggle when you think about it. And even in Krishna's pastimes, we see there's struggle, fighting. It comes about as a result of the fact that Krishna likes to have a fight. He likes to be challenged. Actually. Because he's not always like that. In fact, you know, in one sense, this is what creates pleasure. Variety, in other words. You know, if it's all just peace, life would be pretty dull and boring. We just fall asleep. Or we look for something to do. We want to do something. And you can see, actually, see how loving and affectionate Krishna is, because he gives everybody an opportunity to exercise their individuality, their personality. Gives everybody an opportunity to exercise their uniqueness. As Prabhupada says, yes, if you want to be a dog, no problem, go and be a dog. If you want to be a demigod, fine, be a demigod. Exercise your individuality. So we see in Krishna this fighting spirit, And it's manifest in its perfection in the demons. Manifest as the enemies of Krishna. They appear to obstruct Krishna, the progress of Krishna's pastimes, but actually they're part of Krishna's pastimes. They're integral to it. And in manifesting as the demons, they give the opportunity for Krishna to show how much he is the controller, Jagadishvara. They give him an opportunity to exercise that fighting spirit, chivalrous spirit. You know, there are the five primary rasas, right? The five primary relationships. Madhurya, Vatsalya, Sakyam, Dasya and Shanta. Five primary relationships. In the absence of those, then the other seven secondary rasas manifest. Right? So, chivalry, fear, you know, there's different, they're also part of the rasa or relationship that the devotee can have with Krishna. So the appearance of the demons helps to bring out that the manifestation of these different rasas or relationships. And under the jurisdiction of Krishna's yoga maya or spiritual potency, these personalities exist to complement Krishna's pastimes. And in the process, they give Krishna an opportunity to show his prowess, but not only that, also to demonstrate his compassion or his mercy. Because even though it appears that Krishna is killing, actually his killing is beneficial. The different personalities that manifest as demons are all blessed, basically, by Krishna's dealing with them in different ways. Anybody who comes in contact with Krishna becomes benefits, basically. So, Vasudeva Akila Avasa. You are the son of Vasudeva. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that you have glorified Nanda Maharaj. Right? Now it's time for Vasudeva to be glorified. And so therefore, he's predicting, or he's requesting actually, in this verse, he's requesting Krishna, please come and perform these pastimes. Akila Avasa Satvatam, the Yadu dynasty. Pravara, you are the best of the Yadu dynasty. So now Krishna is going to Mathura to demonstrate his prowess as the Satvatam Pravara, the best of the Yadus. O Master. And it's interesting, there's an interesting example here. He gives you the example how Krishna is situated within the hearts of all living entities. But he's hidden. He's hidden. as the super soul, Paramatma. The example is given just as fire is contained within kindling. Right? We get a fire out of the kindling. There's fire in wood, but that the presence of fire is not immediately obvious in its dull or in inert state, if you like. It's just matter. So, you know, as the Paramatma, or as the Jagadisha, he's actually present within everything. Krishna is present within everything. The spiritual energy is present within everything. It's just not witnessed or not observed. But if one knows the proper utility of the material facility, then one can bring out that spiritual understanding, that realization. One can actually see Krishna within everything. That's a vision of a yogi and a devotee. That's the vision of a yogi, is that he sees everybody equally. He sees everything the same, all living entities as the same, but due to their past karmas, he sees that under the direction of the super soul, the Paramatma, Ishvaraha Savabhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati, the super soul is directing the wanderings of everybody. They're all the same. Material energy is moving, but according to the desires and the karmas of the living entities, they're awarded different bodies. Right? So by, you know, the process of yoga practice, certainly in bhakti yoga, one is elevated to the point of seeing in this way, seeing Krishna within everything. That's the purpose of the yoga practice. Purpose of the yoga practice is to see Krishna in his different features. What we were reading the other day, Prabhupada was saying, if one wants to practice bhakti yoga, then one has to analyze the different yoga platforms, different yoga rungs on the yoga ladder, which basically indicate different stages of advancement that the yogi has achieved before he comes to the final realization of Krishna consciousness. That's the end result of the yoga system, is to see Krishna everywhere. That's a symptom of the Uttama Adhikari. The topmost devotee sees Krishna within everything. Krishna's directing the wanderings of everyone. And he sees he may see the forms of the living entities, he actually sees Krishna moving all of the living entities according to his direction. So it's a nice example that Narada Muni gives here. You are like the wood, the fire that exists within wood. You exist within everything, just that not everybody can see. So you remain hidden within, what is it here? Sitting unseen within the cave of the heart. Krishna is situated within the heart of everybody, but he's not seen. And the process of devotional service is to uncover our companion, if you like. Most of us want to hide from our companion. Actually, Krishna is seeing everything. That's how kind he is. We ignore him, but he stays with us. You are the shelter of the soul, Atmanatmasraya. You are the complete shelter of all souls. So Narada Muni is requesting, Krishna, please come and perform your pastimes. I wish to see your pastimes. You can see how intimate an associate Narada Muni is. He's already witnessed these pastimes before. It's mentioned he's already understands what they're going to be. So he's a special personality, special devotee, special relationship with Krishna. Trikala Gya. He can see past, present, and future. He's saying, you've killed the horse demon. Right? The horse demon represents pride in a devotee, thinking that I'm a great devotee or I'm a great spiritual master. This is the Kishi, represents this. So Krishna's throttled him, basically. And then Vyomasura represents, it's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he represents the danger of associating with thieves and criminals. And those who present themselves as if they're God. Also thieves. Right? They want to steal Krishna's position. So those who think they're God. Persons who think they're God. Of course Prabhupada says, you know, you think you're God. But how come it's only false? So Vyomasura represents thief. Maybe the boys are playing, and it's interesting. They mentioned that it's mentioned here that he choked Vyomasura, strangled him. Right, that kind of association, bad association, can choke up your devotional service. Right? So just as Vyomasura stuck Krishna's friends in a cave and then tried to suffocate them, so Krishna gave him a dose of his own medicine, right? And strangled him. So one has to watch out for this bad association, basically. The anattas, bad association. Over many, many lifetimes, the living entity is associated with, we have associated with all sorts of characters, all sorts of personalities, and some of these influences manifest in gross attachments, right? Attachment to gross material things, sense gratification, gross material pleasures, but also to subtle things as well, which are sometimes the harder to give up. Subtle things. Like the pride of being a devotee. This is it's a dangerous... You know, come to the other devotees. I'm following properly, why aren't you? Why aren't you like me? In other words, I'm a better devotee than you. You're not following properly. You have to be careful of that kind of mentality. Thinking ourselves superior. Actually, that's a symptom of a Kanishtha Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari thinks, yes, I'm the best devotee. I'm following properly. I'm the best devotee. We have to be careful of that, because then what happens is we become critical of others. We think, we start thinking, yeah, well, I'm better than you, so therefore you do what I tell you to do. We start then want to be the, you know, this Ishvara Bhava comes out. We want to be the controller. Tell everyone what to do. But not everybody, you know, the end of Krishna is very, very, very liberal. He lets everybody do what they like. Because it's not good for them necessarily, and so therefore he has to adjust things. But he has his own way of doing it in a very perfect way, which pulls out the anattas and purifies. We may not have that skill. So it's a bit of an art. It's definitely an art to being liberal and soft, but firm with others, without being harsh and hard. It's a thought. Just like I did a program on Sunday night, and just saying, Prabhu, you know, our kids, you know, why won't they chant Hare Krishna? Why won't they do what we tell them to do? You should tell them. Tell them to chant their rounds. One of the devotees' boys, 15 years old, he was chanting four rounds, but now he's stopped chanting his rounds. Right? And that's a worry for his father. You should tell him what to do. As if, you know, I tell him what to do and then he'll just automatically, oh yes, okay, I'll chant my rounds now. So how did they chant? The youth is a good example. They're already brought up these. You know, they read the Bhagavad Gita, they've been trained from childhood to chant. You know, you ask them to chant slokas and they can rattle off slokas, you know, more slokas than you and I know. Just from, you know, from the age of five, learning slokas with Chandra Balabi every Saturday, you know. Bharit Janaya, you know, just, and on they go. Huh? Which is good. It's not a bad thing. But, you know, when they get to 15, right, chant your rounds. Don't feel like it. So what do? You demon, throw him up. Tie him to the back of the car, tie him to the back of the chariot and tie around the block. We'll teach him a lesson for not chanting his rounds. What do you do? If somebody has some difficulty, so it's interesting, isn't it? As devotees, we have to, on the one side, we have to be firm. We see Krishna's firm. What does he do with the demons? Strangles them. Huh? But what do we? You know, we can't strangle devotees. He won't get up in the morning. And he's not chanting his rounds. Okay, strangle him. We'll teach him a lesson. Great mercy. We just strangled the new bhakta because he wasn't chanting his rounds. How do we do that? There's a balance. A balance between firmness and compassion. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to get it right. It's not easy to get it right. Basically because everybody has their individuality. Everybody has their personality. Krishna allows that. He allows that personality. You know, we can't stifle personality. It's not possible. Krishna doesn't do it. But he allows people to make their choices. Of course, the dilemma is, we're a devotional community, and that's what we have standards. Because not standards of practice, standards of regulated devotional service elevates us. We know that. That brings us up. That's why we have it. But at the same time, not everybody will be at the same level of devotion. Right? But naturally, you know, by association and by encouragement and by Krishna's prasad, Krishna's mercy, in the association of devotees, even the most foolish rascal can be benefited. That's why we have the association of the devotees. Of course, if somebody is too much of a disturbance, then we have to do, you know, we have to do something. But on the whole, we temper our, you know, strictness and firmness with compassion. That can be done foolishly, though. Right? Everybody equally. Prabhupada says, we see everybody equally. That doesn't mean, you know, we embrace a tiger. Ah, Prabhu! Please accept my humble obeisances. You'll become his breakfast. He'll eat you up. So similarly also, you know, we have to be careful with bad association because bad association can also strangle our devotional service. So, it's, you know, we have to... But if we see some inclination in a person to become Krishna conscious, then we fan that as much as possible. We want to fan it and give it air and give it fuel, if you like, to burn. There's faults to be found, then we should really try to work on ourselves. Of course, if we find that there's some fault in others, then there are devotees that we can discuss. The senior devotees who are managing the temple, they can help us in working out, okay, look, this person is too much of a disturbance, we have to do something about them. Right? So let's do something about it. Practical. the other day we had to escort one devotee out of the temple, had to ring up the police. And we don't like to do that, but when I become too much of a disturbance, then you have to do it sometimes. Funny thing is that devotee now, it's a badge of honour. Oh, they escorted me from the Melbourne temple. The police escorted me from the Melbourne temple. So he goes to other places and tells them, yeah, they kicked me out of the temple. The police had to come and take me out. Because then they think, hang on a second, what's going on here? If you got escorted out of the Melbourne temple, something must be wrong. So they ring me up, hey, what's going on? So it's a fine line. Not tricky, one has to be careful. Otherwise, what happens is then the other anattas, these other anattas can come in and crowd things. Therefore, one has to learn how to apply these principles according to time, place and person, basically. Time, place and circumstance. Kala, desha, patra. The Uttama Adhikari may see everybody engaged in devotional service. Right? But a Madhyam Bhakta, he has to discriminate. He has to discriminate because he's got to protect himself. Asat Sangha Chag E Vaishnav Achar. This is the behaviour of a Madhyam Bhakta. He gives up bad association. Asat Sangha Chag. I give up bad association. And you can see what Krishna does to the demons. Strangle them. Of course, it is interesting. Lord Chaitanya was going to kill Jagai and Madai. Right? But Lord Nityananda said, no, you can't kill them. If you were to kill them, you're going to have to kill everybody in Kali Yuga. Right? They're so disqualified. So disqualified. So we can see actually, certainly in that pastime, in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, the power of compassion, right? The influence, if you like, of compassion. That's the mood of Radharani. He said, everybody is better than me. Let me bring them to Krishna. Lord Nityananda, it said if you see Lord Nityananda going into the liquor shop, he's not gone in to buy a six pack. Right? He's going into the bottle shop to preach. You see that, the devotees go and preach in all sorts of places. In fact, the pubs are the worst places to go. You never knew whether you would get out of the pub with your wig on. There would be somebody who... Some guys, they were selling candles in a pub, and this fellow grabbed his head and his wig came off. The devotees will go, they take risks to preach out of compassion, feeling compassion. They try to create circumstances and an environment wherein people can actually prosper in devotional service, even though they're not really qualified. So therefore they'll go into these places, try to engage people in devotional service for their benefit. So if somebody does become a disturbance, too much of a disturbance, then you know they need to be dealt with, no doubt. Just as in Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't want... One of the reasons why Krishna went to Mathura was because he knew that Jarasandha and these other enemy friends of Kamsa were going to come and create a disturbance. And he didn't want to disturb the peaceful atmosphere of Vrindavan. It was already getting disturbed by all of these personalities. So therefore he went to fight them out of Vrindavan. So we have to learn basically how to be firm but on the emphasis on compassion. Then give people an opportunity to come up, get the benefit of the association of the devotees, and gradually by that association, gradually by the prasadam, by the kirtan, by seeing the deities, by taking prasadam especially, people become purified. And we see that in our preaching in Australia for many years now. We see how favourable people have become to Krishna consciousness just because they've been eating so much prasadam. You don't see it immediately. You don't see the benefits immediately. And you think, oh boy, what an austerity. We keep on feeding these people prasadam. We give them books. Nobody can eat. What's wrong? The process of Krishna consciousness is not working. Right? But actually we see over time, if we are patient and determined, then gradually we see, look, these people who previously were nonsense are now only 99% nonsense. And they've got 1% of devotional service. So that's good. That's better than nothing, right? Prabhupada gives the example of grass. People, generally speaking, are like wet grass. If you get a match, try to light a fire, you throw the match in, just goes... Right? But by going out and doing harinam, distributing prasadam to people, then gradually it's like drying out the grass. So that eventually, light a match and throw it in, it'll blaze. So preaching is like that. Sometimes it's a thankless, it seems like a thankless task, and you don't look like you're getting anywhere. Preaching to devotees, or even sometimes there'll be a setback. There'll be some setback. Say, it's all useless, it's too hard, can't do it. But then if you persevere, then you discover actually there are people who are being affected, who are appreciating Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna. We just haven't met them yet, that's all. Or we're not aware of them, but we do. You become aware of them because it's interesting. As Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, that the transcendentalist who isn't fully perfected in their previous life, but then again takes birth, they're automatically attracted to the yogic principles. They're automatically attracted. We can't see them, but there are people who are automatically being attracted. And by our harinam and prasadam, they come. Right? Just like the, what's her name? The girl who was staying on a weekend. What's?
Jenny.
She started chanting from reading Prabhupada's books. Came to the restaurant, asked, what book shall I read next? Then she asked, what shall I do next? And Muni said, you should chant Hare Krishna. She already was chanting Hare Krishna. So we can see, even in our own case, we were attracted. One way or another, we're attracted. As Prabhupada says, by the transcendental system, we're attracted. And we meet the devotees. And then by that meeting with the devotees, by the devotees' compassion and shelter, we gradually come up. Or sometimes going back. So a bit like an ebb and flow of the tide. But gradually, basically by good association and encouragement, everybody comes up. So, we are just about to leave. Well, if we're travelling with Krishna, we're about to leave Vrindavan. Of course, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. But he doesn't leave Vrindavan. But he can simultaneously be in Vrindavan and in Mathura. But here, Yogesha, the controller of Yogamaya. And by that potency, he can be never leave Vrindavan, but at the same time go and perform his pastimes out of Vrindavan. Mahatma, Prabhu.
One comment.
Yes.
You said about the parent.
The parent.
The child has left. So it's a great thing that he started being so wrong.
Yes.
So we have to consider, if he's taking your help, we have to give. Because...
Oh, no, I preach to the parents,
yeah.
And I preach to the boys,
yeah.
The boy. So I told the boy, you should listen to what your father tells you. Right? But before I told him that, I said, you shouldn't be so hard on your kids. So the kids would say, yeah, stop picking on me. Right? So the boy was thinking, yeah. But then I started to get on his case too. You should listen to your father.
How old are you?
15.
15.
Yeah, you know him. Well, we maybe, all know him.
Maybe he's bombarded by the material energy too much.
Maybe.
So he wants to.
Quite a strong possibility.
Yeah.
He said, you know, how come these fellows, the dad said, you know, how come these fellows, you know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I feel myself completely vulnerable, but he doesn't chant Hare Krishna, he thinks he's got it all together. Well, this is, you know, I explained, you know, when I was 15, I thought my dad was stupid. Whatever he told me, I ignored. It took me another 15 years to discover that what my father was telling me was right. So I said to the father, you have to be careful because our children are very much a product of us. Right? And we're not pure devotees, you know, we're not by any means or measure Paramahamsas. Right? So, you know, when we see the faults in our children, very often we're looking at ourselves. I've seen this happen. It happens in the ashram too sometimes, you know, devotees. One devotee is having a little bit of difficulty. The others are following, but also struggling. Everybody's struggling. But then the person is having a little bit of difficulty, then the other guys are also struggling. They say, come on, when do you get it together? But all they're doing is criticising the frailty or the weaknesses that they have in themselves. You know what I mean? So the dad's getting on the kid's case. Yeah, why are you so out of it? As if he's the big Paramahamsa. But I did make the point. I said, at the end I said, it's your father's responsibility to find the fault in you. That's his job. And I told the father, it's your responsibility to find the fault in him. And I said, you have to listen to your father. That's the system. Don't be like me. You know, it took me 15 years to realise I should follow my father's, 30 years. Actually, when I was younger, I adored my father and I would do whatever he wanted. But something happened at a certain point in time. I'm not quite sure what happened, but I just decided that my father was dope. And then I was leaving home. See you later. I said, don't do that. Because But the other thing I mentioned, because, you know, these are mainly the Indian community of devotees, I was saying, you know, also, you shouldn't be so hard on yourselves. Because, you know, the Indian community, speak of the devil, the Indian community is so, you know, competitive, right? They have such high expectations. Right? So we push. Sorry. Oh, Hare Krishna. How to curb pride. Unfortunately, I haven't worked out how to do that yet. But there are some tips I can give that I've heard from others. One of them is to serve the devotees, especially serve the spiritual master, follow the instruction. Because, you know, there is that tendency we have to sort of revolve things around us, but if we put that aside and we learn to become the servant of the devotees, so some humble service, or even some not so humble service. You know, I tell you, one of the services which is guaranteed to knock your pride around is to take on some responsibility where you have to work with others and get others to do things. Right? That if you want your pride smashed, then that's the best way to do it. Because sooner or later, they'll say, I'm not doing what you tell me to do. What? I'm the temple president. You can't tell me what to do. I'm supposed to be telling you what to do. And they just say, see you later. So getting others, and see, here's the thing. My discovery is that if you have a great determination to make sure that the service gets done and that you will do it, regardless of whether anybody else in the universe will help you or not, and that you are prepared to facilitate them to get the service done, then people will help you. You know what I mean? But if we try to be the boss or, you know, the commander, the controller, if you like, then sometimes, you know, we'll learn our lesson in a very bitter way. So, you know, take on responsibility for preaching, for pushing on Krishna consciousness, and for helping to, you know, organise others. Really, that's one good way of becoming humble. Because it isn't easy to get, it's a challenge. Get people to work together. Right? One of the one of the greatest steps forward I ever made in my spiritual life, well, it was a couple of things. First one was to appreciate that everybody who comes to the temple is potentially a devotee. I used to think, oh, these demons. All these demons coming to the temple. Just create a mess for us. Now, why don't they surrender to Krishna? So I was thinking, why don't they all surrender to Krishna, like me? You know, I'm so surrendered. That was the first thing. Second thing was, the thing that really helped me was I decided, I don't know why, but somehow I got inspired, that I would coordinate the serving out of the Sunday feast. I don't know why I did that. But it was really the best thing that happened to me because, you know, here I was serving all of these demons, serving all these karmis, who I later on discovered were actually devotees. But, serving the Sunday feast here wasn't as big, but it's still a responsibility. You know, you've got to coordinate getting all the prasadam up. You've got to coordinate all of the people serving out. You've got to coordinate the washing and cleaning up afterwards. Right? These things are, it's a responsibility. But especially it means you've got to, others, you've got to coordinate, you've got to inspire and then coordinate others to do it. So that really helped me as a devotee. because, you know, my attitude prior to that was perhaps a little off. The other brahmacharis used to be scared of me. My friends used to be scared of me because I was such a rah-rah. What are you doing sleeping in? You're in Maya. Get up. If you don't get up, we'll throw you in the shower and turn it on you. Stuff like that. I used to run around the place, boss people around. So I think, yeah, another thing was I was made the Sankirtan captain. Sankirtan captain. I was responsible for getting the Harinam party organised, getting all the instruments, you know, just organising everybody to go out on Harinam. That was another experience. So somehow if we can serve the devotees, and especially that's one way, serve the devotees by helping coordinate services, as is appropriate.
You have made a very nice point about curbing the pride by serving a devotee.
Yeah.
Like here, for example, Adi Purush, he has made his children serve their Bhataka Swami. Now they are so interested in serving the Guru Maharaj that you can't see an example.
Yeah.
When they hear he's coming to Perth, they go to Perth.
Yep.
He hears they go to Adelaide, wherever. Now, he has responsibility. And serving a pure devotee, these are two very important points.
Yeah. Yeah. Priti's asking.
To curb his pride.
She's thinking of taking initiation this next time he comes. That's good.
Very good.
You want me to tell you about it? From what I can gather, it's fairly straightforward. He was staying in Calcutta. He's the Bhaktivedanta Institute has an office, a building, and premises on the road that goes from the airport into Calcutta. It's just over the road from the Host International. I know because I stay in that hotel, and Bhakta Rupa stays over the road with in the BI building. But he was there on Sunday night, and about midnight he started to experience some pain in his shoulder, which is, you know, this is a common symptom of a heart attack. And then very quick, you know, only a matter of minutes, and he called the devotees, and one of them went off to get a doctor. Of course, at that time of the night in Calcutta, not very easy to find a doctor. But, you know, within about 15 minutes, he'd left his body, stopped breathing, and then passed, gone. So very, you know, not. And he's 69, so not young. Not super old either, but not young. And that's it. You know, death is waits for no man, they say. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Damodara Maharaj is a very close and intimate associate of Srila Prabhupada. You know, a lot of the question and answer sessions that make up Life Comes From Life were exchanges between him and Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, Prabhupada encouraged him in his service, establishing and spreading Krishna consciousness through the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And, you know, for the last few years, Maharaj has been tirelessly working on conferences and interfaith exchanges and creating a forum wherein Krishna consciousness can be introduced to persons in the